Actually, you know what? My cold opens don't work too well with this music. I feel like I should be, I don't know, talking about the hurricane or something. Ah, man. Yeah.
Or playing Zelda.
Or playing Zelda, yeah.
Hey, the new Zelda's awesome.
I love that.
It's not that new. It's been like a year, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's not like it was long enough to finish it, which is a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I think we both play video games the same way, very slowly.
Yeah.
Hey, did you beat Zelda? Nah, I'm still in the first dungeon. That's
I beat Twilight Princess.
Yeah. Still having trouble with Majora's Mask. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. Ah, man. All right. So, how are you, Josh?
I'm anticipating not to being too let down. Hopefully. I don't know. I'm just waiting for November.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing I got on my mind right now.
Yeah. Is this the calm before the storm? I know we just made that joke, but is this the storm that they're talking about, or is it really just 4chan? Don't let it be 4chan. Please don't.
It'll
let
be 8chan. It'll be double the 4chan.
Yeah. 8chan's actually a place. How are you, Dave?
I'm great until I start thinking about things.
Well, I have a little bit of a story that I want to tell.
Oh.
So yesterday I taught the Audacity class for Radio Tacoma again.
Right on.
And Josh actually helped me out. And we actually just kind of stopped the class and just talked about what we all want to do with radio for like an hour in the middle of this 4-hour class. And then, so it's like parts of it were kind of rushed, but all in all, it's precisely what I wanted to do. So that was kind of a big victory. And then we hit a new brewery. And then Josh had to split, and it's like 8:30 and a Saturday night. Becky's not here. I am alone. I can't have this. So I go up to Copper Door. And I walk up to Copper Door, and there's this guy fully motorcycle kitted up, like helmet, pads, the suit, the whole deal, super kitted up on one wheel. He's on the sidewalk, and he's explaining it to another guy, and I just walk up on this and I just stand there and I listen, and he's like, yeah, this is what it's called. It's a powered unicycle. I'm like, is it self-riding? He's like, yeah, it writes forward and backward, not to the side, as I learned to my detriment earlier. And I'm like, okay. He's like, well, the next one's going to have full, you know, gyroscopic capabilities. I can't wait for that one. And then he hops on this, you know, he just turns it on and whooshes away at like 25 miles an hour on this one wheel down the street.
Like a hyperspace mime.
Yeah. And then no, not at all like that. He wasn't terrifying. And then I walk in the bar, I order my drink, I pull out of my pocket my multi-core laptop so that I can sign on to the internet and say horrible things about political people. And the cool guys at the bar are, you know, because kind of the bro-y cool guys, right? Bars have that. And these guys are definitely the cool guys at the bar. They're talking about swords and D&D 2nd edition.
What?
And so I just look at a random person and I actually say to like basically the whole bar, man, living in the future is really strange. It's like, this is kind of what I wanted when I grew up.
Right?
This,
yeah.
This moment. This is... this, wow.
So, can I share my own story?
Sure.
I'm not sure if I've shared this on this show. I know I shared it on my show.
Yeah.
Plug, plug, plug. Hands-free football. Go look it up.
Yeah, definitely.
The origin story of that was one of these moments of Becky out of town, Sam has nothing to do. And stop me if you would rather I not.
No, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
So Becky had previously come to Carol and I and said, hey, can you check in on Sam while I'm gone for a week? He doesn't do that great when he's on his own. Like, yeah, sure. We'll stop by Thursday. We'll take him out for a beer. It'll be great. So I come rolling in your house Thursday evening, and you're looking like Gollum when Bilbo first showed up, kind of blinking and somewhat pale. And you're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, here to take you out for a beer. It's like, but it's Tuesday. Like, nope, it's definitely Thursday. We need to go. So we drag you out to a bar, put some food in you. And it took, what, like 30 minutes of you just sort of like coming back to the surface of reality. And so Carol and I do what we do, which is talk soccer. And we were talking for soccer for, yeah, a good 30 minutes when you're suddenly like, this is good. You should record this. And that's how hands-free football happened.
It's a good way to start a show.
Yeah.
Did it have anything to do with Auschwitz?
No, it did not have anything to do with Auschwitz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we should probably go right into that.
All right.
Well, we should do... Yeah, so, you know, Dave and I are on the show together, as we are about, what, once a month at this point?
Yeah, something like that.
And so for all of our nerdy D&D, advanced D&D second edition friends, it's time to talk about sports.
I need my own intro. I need a sports intro. I think the sports era theme is taken, but we'd probably get sued for that.
Probably. And I looked at the two stories that we've got at the top of the docket, and it's like, all right, three white guys talking about racism. Let's go.
Yeah, who's better?
Yeah. Right? Chelsea Football Club is considering giving racist fans the option to take a class in diversity, which would include a club-funded trip to Auschwitz in lieu of banning. The London soccer team suggested the plan as a way to fight racism and anti-Semitism in the fan base. Team chairman Bruce Buck explained that if you just ban racist fans, they will never actually get any better. Rather than giving them the choice to take the class is a way to encourage them to improve. The club publicly criticized a group of fans who chanted anti-Semantic?
Oh, I wrote anti-Semantic. That's me, not you.
Oh, you totally did!
Sorry about that.
Oh my, I thought I just read it wrong. Anti-Semantic that, slurs.
I mean...
No context.
Slurs are typically not semantic, so, I mean...
Rubber chickens for truth!
Oh man,
that's great. So,
anti-Semitic slurs, okay? During a game in 2017.
Wow, off the rails already.
Yeah, I'm done.
So, if I want a free trip to Poland, I just go buy Chelsea tickets and be a dirtbag.
Well, you have to be.
Well, this yeah. is chair, but these are the people that actually hold tickets. The
Well, I don't think a team taking you to visit Auschwitz counts as a, you know, vacation to Poland.
I'm just saying, though, like you're threatening people with a trip to. I mean, like, it's an all expense paid trip, apparently, it sounds like.
If you don't stop being racist, I'm taking you on a continental vacation.
You might be very careful about incentivizing giving somebody an avenue for like a free trip. Doesn't matter where it's at, yeah. Or how depressing a place it is.
Are you a proud boy? Want to stop? Or, you know, are you a proud boy? Go to Hawaii! To Hawaii with you! I mean, okay, yeah, you're in Auschwitz. That's not exactly Party City.
I hope.
No, absolutely not. But, I mean, you're there, so, I mean, you do the Auschwitz thing.
Yeah, and there's other things in Poland, is right. What I'm saying.
You got a paid free trip for it. Unless, like, they take you to Auschwitz, and then, like, immediately, you must leave now.
Right.
Might be that.
It could be that. So, contextualize this for me, because it's not my sport, also not my continent.
Right.
So, Chelsea is, I mean, it's a team I've heard of.
Chelsea is a team in London. They're one of the biggest teams in the Premier League. They've actually won the Premier League last year, the year before last.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I am actually a Chelsea fan. They are my favorite non-US team.
Okay.
When I first started getting to soccer, I got into Chelsea first.
Mm-hmm.
Their fans are awful. And being a Chelsea fan is sometimes having to face some real embarrassment by what other fans have done. I remember they mentioned that there was these anti-Semitic chants at a game against Tottenham last year.
Yeah.
There was another situation where they're playing a Champions League game in Paris, and someone caught video of all these Chelsea fans on a metro train pushing a black guy off the train and not letting him back on while chanting, we're racist, that's the way we like it. So this isn't exactly like subtle sort of undertone dog whistle type racism. This is loud, proud, in your face.
This is
hate.
Regular 1960s brand racism.
It's right.
Yeah, okay.
Or today America.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. And so what I think is really interesting in this story is that, like, the traditional standard is to just ban them. Like, let's just get rid of them. We, you know, we're trying to get away from the hooligan culture of the 80s, and this is a leftover of that. And so you just get them out of the stadium and wash your hands of the situation. And this is the first team that I've heard where they're like, you know what? If you just get rid of them, they may not be our problem, but they're still a problem.
Right.
So what if we try to do something to change their behavior instead of just getting rid of them? What if we actually make them face the realities of racism and give them a class in diversity? Will it work? Maybe, maybe not. Like, some, you know, you have to be somewhat receptive to that idea for it to have an effect on you.
Yeah.
But I think it's better that they're trying this than just washing their hands of it.
I think, and this is for season ticket holders, right?
Yes.
And is this like Green Bay, like, is having a season ticket like a real big deal for Chelsea? Or is it?
Yeah, it's one of the biggest London clubs, so you're in London already. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, there are 20 teams in London of the various divisions, but like, this is a prime ticket. This is not an easy ticket to get, and if you lose your season tickets, chances are, usually the ban is a 3-year ban, but if you lose your season tickets, chances are you're never going to get that back. Like, you probably, like, the waiting list is insane. So,
okay.
So this is, you know, there is real punishment, and to somebody who's not a sports fan, yes, I know you're all out there. I hear you. But for someone who's not a sports fan, they're like, eh, so what? You know, I don't get my tickets anymore. Let me tell you, as a Sounders season ticket holder, if I lost my tickets and I knew it'd be years before I could get it back, that would be devastating to me. Like, that is a large part of my community. It's a large part of my marriage. It's a large part of my identity is being a Sounders fan and going to those games and having that experience. And if that were taken away from me, like, that would be crushing.
So, okay.
So it's like they're doing both carrot and stick here. Mm-hmm. And right. I think, and none of them are like a, you know, insubstantial punishment. So.
Okay.
So, I don't do a lot of sports events, but this year's I've been an exception. I've been to a couple of baseball games, been to a couple of football games, but I went to a soccer game and it was awesome. I mean, the game itself didn't matter. It was just like the camaraderie and like, cause we were in the cheer zone and it was like the banners flying. It was amazing.
Oh yeah. If you get down those ECS folks, like Tyson, friend of the show, Plenty of Time host, his tickets are down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll straight out say, is like, there have been times when the other team scored and it was like 10 minutes later before I even noticed, just because we're all chanting and screaming and waving our flags. Yeah. Like,
they give you a list of cheers. They have you that basically you have to stand up the whole time. No cell phones. You are engaged. You are invested if you are there. And it is a spectacle.
I would like to try it, but I would like to have an opt out at some point. Like, you know what I mean? Because I'm a little terrified of it, and my jokes about it earlier in my soccer speaking career were really a representation of I that looks awesome. Okay, now I get why people go to rallies. I'm understanding it. Like, I'm getting the mass event of it all.
Right.
I'm starting to see it. It's also super terrifying. And so, I want to go, but like, you know, in like minute 30, it might be, I need to be in a quiet room and with a cold beverage.
All right. I'll tell you what, I'll let you know a secret that this isn't going to go further than you and me. I promise.
Yeah, like, nobody else is ever
going to hear this.
All right.
My section is bench seating, so if you get tickets down there, and then 30 minutes, you need to bolt, come around to my section, and we can squeeze you in.
Okay.
Like, doesn't matter if you have.
Wait, there are benches? Because I've used your tickets a few times.
Right.
There are benches there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've never used them.
The Hawks. Yeah, I know, right?
Hawks Nest.
The Hawks Nest is all bench seating. Most of them have chairs, so it's like you can't really add an extra person, but in our section, you can get away with it. So.
I like your section. That's cool. Yeah, I think it might be more my speed.
They're actually closing down most of my section.
Oh.
Apparently, I was talking to my ticket rep when news this came, because I thought I was going to lose my tickets because they're just closed down the entire Hawks Nest. They're closing down everything but the front, like, 8 rows. So I'm safe and the people around me. But he said the reason is that, like, there is no season ticket renewal except for, like, 30 people. And I'm like, oh, so my friends and me. Like, that's, we're the only ones. Apparently, nobody else renews their tickets there, and so they rely on single ticket sales, and you don't get a lot of engagement. You get a lot of people sitting. You sometimes get it half-filled, so they're just like, we're going to crush that down so only a few people go in there. And so the people who are there want to be there. So
yeah, I like that, your area. People there are cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
And there's another Ask an Atheist person in that section as well, isn't there?
Mike Warbington's there.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was kind of funny. I went there like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, it was a total accident that we ended up next to each other because we were two sections away and we did not like our seats there.
Yeah.
After the first season. So we just moved, not knowing, like, I just moved to, because part of my problem, I had so many people walking in front of me all game. Mm-hmm. So I went to the seat at the very end so nobody would walk in front of me. And I didn't know that Mike Warbington was sitting three seats away. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it worked out real well. How are the Sounders doing?
They're very likely, not guaranteed, but very likely to go to the playoffs for the 10th straight season.
Oh, which, God, the drama. The drama.
They turned it around. Again, I thought this was a year that they just were just terrible and they were not going to, but they turned it around again and they're winning like crazy. They went on a 9-game winning streak, which is the longest winning streak in MLS's post-shootout era.
Mm-hmm.
The pre-shootout era, there had to be a winner.
Right.
So you got more wins. You didn't get any draws. But since they adopted draws, no one's won 9 games in a row.
Wow.
Except for the Sounders. Nice. So.
Yeah. Well, baseball's over, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, people who hate sports. I don't really have much to add there. Earlier, I didn't mean to say that 1960s brand racism wasn't, it's not on back order. You can find it at many fine hate establishments.
Oh, it's back on the menu.
I don't know that it was ever off the menu, to be honest with you.
It's now on happy hour.
Yeah, I was trying to find a segue to back to the show topic, but I decided, I said that segue was that weird thing yesterday. This is a conversation. Hey! I kind of hope this works. It does seem weird. It does feel a little bit like, you're a racist, free vacation. But if it is truly educational, then I think it could work out. I'd like to revisit this one at some point and see where it goes. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. We're gonna go to the break and we come back, we're gonna talk about the death penalty or the lack of one. And other fun stuff.
Can I tell you what happened to Danny Jackson Cupcakes? At age 7, he fell off of his bike and scraped his leg. Afterward, a salesman came up to him and offered a squid ink bandage. He accepted, and after 2 weeks, his poor leg had fallen off.
So, if you're a loved one has suffered the horrible side effects of squid ink, please call 1-800-ANTI-SQUID INK. That is 1-800-ANTI-SQUID INK.
Warning, recipients are non-existent. Please do not call number.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I guess squid ink shouldn't be my anti-drug then?
Probably not.
Yeah.
By the way, I wouldn't be doing my job here if I didn't insist. That is not the full title of the show, sir.
Oh, cripes! Yeah. Hi, Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey, 844. There we go. Yeah, I need more ego in my life, apparently.
More Egon, maybe?
Egon. Well, that'd be nice. let's Captain Kirk it up in here. Everything should be pointed at me! yeah. Okay. The Washington State Supreme Court struck down the use of the death penalty in the state. The court ruled 9-0 that the use of capital punishment violated the state constitution because of racial bias in its implementation. Governor Jay Inslee put a hold on all executions in the state in 2014. The 7 people currently awaiting the death sentence will have their sentences changed to life imprisonment. Jeff Robinson of the ACLU praised the decision, saying, "There was nothing unique about the role racism played in Washington's death penalty. What is rare is that the Supreme Court's willingness to call out the truth that is always been there."
Yeah,
that's just promising.
I have a weird relationship with the death penalty because for a long time I was actually a death penalty proponent, and to this day I think that I don't have a moralistic, if you will, sort of stance against it. I won't say 100% the death penalty is absolutely wrong. I think there are cases where it's justified, and I think it would be right. You know, the easy extreme examples, your Jeffrey Dahmers, I almost said Marilyn, but no, Charles Manson's. Marilyn Manson's a different case. We'll get to that one.
Yeah.
No, but So I like, I can imagine a situation where it is acceptable, say, there is no rehabilitative path for this person.
Mm-hmm.
The only choice would be, not the only choice, but the correct choice would be to execute them.
Right.
But the problem is that you would need a perfect system. And systems, by their nature, are invented by humans and therefore cannot be perfect.
Wait, you mean they're not invented by God?
They are certainly
are
not.
Saying God's not inventing
Well, God's a big fan of the death penalty, too. He just tends to do it himself a lot. But
I don't know. It always seems like he outsources the work.
Wow.
I mean, he's a big outsourcer, that one. I mean, he did flood everything.
Yeah,
at one
if you
point,
press the flood button, is that really outsourcing? I mean,
that's the only time he didn't outsource it.
It's, I mean, yeah, it's like, not like he went to China and ordered a bunch of water. And
yeah, he's never been good at the surgical strike.
Uh-huh. No. Yeah,
neither are we.
No, his surgery basically is a strike. Yeah.
Hey. So, but what it comes down to is that, like, because there is no perfect system, I would rather err on the side of life. I would rather, which sounds like a weirdly, entirely different topic that we're not going to talk
like
about
a
today.
Different conversation.
But,
yes.
Like, when it comes to Jeffrey Dahmer, where it's like, absolutely, he is guilty. I don't think there's any rehabilitation. I would rather give him life imprisonment and accept no death penalty than even open the door for a chance that somebody innocent could be executed.
Okay.
Like, when I look at the cost benefit, the benefit is nobody gets executed who shouldn't be.
Right.
And the cost is people who would have been executed justifiably will now spend their life in prison instead. Well, that's a very low cost for a very high benefit.
So essentially, you're talking about, if I can kind of wrap my head around it, you're talking about the death penalty the way a lot of people in bars or high talk about communism, which is, man, it'd be great if people were better than they are.
Right.
Okay, maybe not great, but that's the way they talk about communism. The way you're talking about the death penalty is, if we had an infallible system, you wouldn't necessarily be against it.
I'll go even further than communism. I will say libertarianism would work if all humans were perfect.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. Being the dogmatist that I am, I'm dogmatic about my lack of dogma, or doctrinaire about my lack of dogma.
Okay.
Is anything that requires requires basically ideological purity in a government system in order for it to not be rampantly abused, isn't going to work.
Right.
And when you get to extreme expressions of anything, that's going to become a problem.
Right.
So, blah.
Yeah, it's a thing that you can't take back. Some people are of the mind that, like, kill them all, let God sort them out kind of mentality.
Yeah.
But that obviously doesn't fly for us. Mm-hmm. And it's estimated somewhere between 1.5 to 4% of people executed on death row since 1976 are innocent, found to be innocent. And it's hard to actually even expand upon that number because it might even be bigger, but people don't like to try cases after the person has expired.
Right. After you've killed them,
right.
The research basically doesn't really speak for itself.
Right.
I actually misunderstood this when I first saw it in the news, because I was like, well, we're not executing people in Washington State, but they're also, so now we just have the governor and the Supreme Court saying that executions might be bad. I didn't really wrap my head around the entire context because I was doing other things this week. When I read this news brief this morning, I was like, "Oh wait, it's actually off the books now. Like, this is not a thing that Washington does anymore."
Right.
That's actually really cool. That's kind of it's a slight weight off my mind. I don't know if Illinois. I think if Illinois got rid of the death penalty, it was after I left.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there when one of the governors named Ryan, who was in jail.
does not narrow it down much.
No.
actually
passed a moratorium or said, you know, made a moratorium on executions in Illinois because of the clear and rampant racism in the death penalty cases in that state. And so that's generally been the way of it. And I was super happy about it then, and I'm super happy about it now.
Yeah.
I tend not to think about the merits of the death penalty in laboratory conditions, because laboratory conditions for... it's very hard to ethically test that sort of thing.
Right.
No ethics board is going to let you execute people to see if it's if it's ethical to execute people.
Go back a few decades, and yeah, that probably was a different story.
Well, decades ago, yeah, but
Is it weird that, like, I recently found out that the United States Supreme Court banned death penalty in the country for a number of years in mm-hmm. the '70s, and it's like, that should be a huge deal, but it was like a blip that somehow passed me by, and it wasn't until very recently that I even found out it happened.
Well, it was like they treated it in the '70s, if I recall, they treated it like a technical foul, like it wasn't like some moral decision like this is. It wasn't a clear indication that the way that, one, having the death penalty is kind of dumb. Two, the way we use it is incredibly unequal. It's
right.
It's ridiculously so. If I recall, I'd have to look this up. And so why am I talking about this on the radio? we paused the death penalty because there was a technical.
Right.
So.
But was it the Fifth Amendment cruel and unusual argument?
Yeah.
Or?
I don't know. I'd have to stop and look it up.
Meanwhile, on Speculation Today.
Yeah. Horribly uninformed people talking on the radio. It's Tuesday. Actually, it's Sunday, but you get my point. At least on Ask an Atheist, when we are horribly uneducated about something, we'll tell you.
Yeah. We'll own it. That's no problem.
Let's do an email. This is Brad from Utah, who writes, "Hey, I've heard for years now that animal shelters won't adopt out black cats around Halloween because of the fear that they'll be sacrificed in pagan rituals. Is there any truth to this, or is it just like the satanic panic of the 80s?
Interesting wording of that question, because, like, the satanic panic of the 80s, there was truth to that. Not that there were actual Satanists, but that there were actual consequences to people's panic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is directly tied to that.
Is it?
Yes. Okay. As far as I can tell, I read this article on Vice, so, you know, not a necessarily bad source, but, you know, take it with a grain of salt, if you will.
Right.
But they basically heard the same rumor that, hey, you can't adopt a black cat on Halloween. They're just, shelters will not let you. So he started calling up shelters and asking them, and most of them were saying, yeah, no, we won't do that, and just pick another day. That's fine. Like, whatever other day you want. And
specifically on Halloween.
Yeah, not around, okay, but on Halloween.
Right.
And one shelter was, they were asking why. It's like, well, we're just afraid people are going to hurt them, and, you know, we'd rather not happen. And so he started digging into the history. He's like, well, is this an actual concern based on anything? And it's actually based in the satanic panic. There is one story of a black cat being adopted and then found dead. It was a girl in Chicago who actually, she asked for the cat to use for part of her costume, which I feel like if you're working at an animal shelter and you have any ethics, that answer should be nope.
Yeah.
We have animals, not props.
Yeah.
Like, these are living creatures. But they gave her the cat, and the cat was found a couple days later dead.
Oh.
Which is sad and tragic. But that's literally the only case of this. And it wasn't like mutilated. It wasn't like some sort of ritual thing. It was just like a girl adopted a cat for a costume, and that cat ended up dead. That's all we got.
What did she do with her costume?
I have, like, no idea.
Yeah, was she, like, her costume, like, dragging a dead cat? Like,
and the article didn't even mention how the cat died. I'm not sure if the police report even mentioned that.
I my horrible brain. I just know. Meow, meow. How do I put this thing on?
Well, so the UK...
Where's my staple gun?
Oh.
The UK actually had this a bunch of cats just showing up being killed and, like, mangled and just... They thought it was ritualistic murder of cats, and apparently it was just foxes.
Really?
Yeah, this happened, like, for the last 3 years, there have been cats, like, just turning up, and they, like, people were actually thinking, like, this was, like, satanic ritual stuff, and it was literally foxes.
And it was just foxes.
Yeah.
See, I heard a similar local story. Forgive me, this is, like, I won't go into too much detail, but this is a little heartbreaking. They found a dog that was killed and skinned And so they started investigating about animal cruelty and everything. And it's like, my God, who is doing this to a dog and everything? Turns out it was a taxidermist getting rid of like sort of leftover parts after finishing a project. He threw them in a river thinking that it'd wash away to sea and no one would know the difference. And then washed up on the shore looking like a mutilated dog when, no, the dog died of natural causes and somebody wanted a taxidermy statue to remember it by.
So he gets the dog corpse.
Yes.
Takes the fur off the dog corpse. And goes and tosses a skinned dog into the river and go, well, now it's gone forever.
Nature will take care of that.
That's nobody's going to be freaked out by that in Washington, where human feet have washed up in recent memory.
Right. Yes. So that's a story that happened.
This won't be a problem. I'd heard about the pets being mutilated and people being worried out in Yelm. I never heard the
Yeah, I don't know
the comedic denouement of the of that particular story.
I don't know if this covers every story in Yelm, but I know for the most recent one, somebody checked it. I was like, oh, sorry, my bad. That was me.
That had to have been cited for illegal dumping.
Something.
At the very least, right? I mean...
Can you write a ticket for citation of, seriously, dude?
Yeah.
$500. Yeah. Seriously, dude?
Yeah. Welcome to the Superior Court of blah blah blah, Thurston County. I'm Judge Wacky McSpeckles. You are indicted under for one count of wait, what? No, that's literally the charge. Wait, what?
You did what?
Yeah, and I know, like, not on Halloween, I know around Halloween, certain animal shelters will have a black cat adoption drive.
Right.
Because black cats generally have a harder time getting adopted out because they're... Are they actually considered unlucky?
If they cross your path, then that means that's a bad omen.
Oh, that's what that's about.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the whole thing. It's the whole don't walk under a ladder kind of thing, which is good safety advice, but
okay,
it's not bad luck.
So, Bradford, apparently there is nothing not stupid around this black cat thing. And if you it's like a candy crust of stupid. There's a gooey center of sad dead animals, and ask an atheist, assemble thee.
It makes me think of a line from one of my favorite poker players that I keep in mind whenever I'm playing. It's bad luck to be superstitious.
I like that. I don't know that we've ever talked about the fact that you play poker.
I do.
A lot.
I do. I actually recently picked it up again, and I've actually been doing pretty well, so that's exciting.
That's cool.
I'm actually making money, not losing it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I it's the whole gambling thing.
I just like sitting at a table with people playing cards for 5 hours, and if at the end of it I have a couple bucks and got dinner and a drink, hey
it worked out.
That's a good day.
Yeah. It's like the I don't know. Do you play any sort of these kinds of games?
No, I avoid gambling at all costs because I'm very bad at it.
So I've been to Vegas a few times, and I always go with I have this much monies that I have set aside for losing.
Yes,
right.
And because I'm not really into the whole Vegas scene, the Vegas baby kind of thing. And but I discovered that blackjack, video blackjack, the odds are good, so you can play for a long time. And as long as you look like you're gambling,
they'll bring you free drinks.
They bring you drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Once I discovered this. Like, oh, I get Vegas now. All right, yeah. All right, and I'm just going to sit in the corner with my friend, and we were talking about features coming in Solaris 10 or something like that, you know, some super nerdy stuff.
But every once in a while, I hit the button on that machine.
Yeah, and I just keep playing. Oh, look, $5. All right, more bourbon. And, yeah, and once I discovered that, and I was like, okay, I can do this for, there's like, it's like 48 hours I can be in Vegas, and then it just sort of all hits me at once how Vegas-y it is, and I'm just like, you get kind of shell-shocked about it. Where can I go?
I haven't actually been there yet.
Really?
Yeah, I really want to go at some point. I want to sit down and just play, you know, a couple hours of poker and wander around, maybe catch a show. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you go with some friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me and my wife went, and it was kind of boring because it was just the two of us. And I'm, like I said, I'm bad at gambling.
yeah, I mean, I one time I did go with 20 and left with 23, but I'm talking, like, that's my stakes. That's like...
Right.
I'm there. I'm modulating my gambling to maximize my intoxicant consumption.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I couldn't get free drinks or anything. So right. I don't know how the system works.
I haven't been back in, God, 10 years now. The last time I went was over Christmas, because Becky's family had a timeshare that they swapped for Vegas over Christmas. They ended up not being able to go, so that they gave it to Becky and me, and I took my friend Jason. We took our friend Jason and we went. Jason is in San Francisco. We're in Phoenix, so we all just sort of met there.
Nice kind of center.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah. There was something very Tom Waitsian about it being Christmas Eve, and I'm sitting in the Vegas Hilton when it was still dolled up, like Star Trek. So I'm sitting at Quark's Bar with the bartender who's from Overland Park, Kansas, and it's Christmas, and we're all like, we could be with our families now, and we're here. I'm like, what do you have that's not horrible? The Cardassian Obsidian Ale is good. I mean, what is that? Oh, it's Newcastle. Oh, dog, yeah, definitely that. Thanks. but Becky and Jason are both Star Trek fans, and so they were all about it. They were like, yeah, let's do this. This is gonna be great. And so they do the Star Trek 3D experience or something like that, And so we go through it, and it's all, like, it's done, set up, like, not the Star Trek 3D experience. The Star Trek Borg 4D experience is what it is.
So it had special sense?
Yeah, totally. Nice. Yeah, so you go through, shaking. You went through a bunch of hallways, and, you know, if you've been there, if you're a Star Trek fan, you've probably been there, you've probably seen it, and it's set up to shake, and it's pretty cool looking, and then you sit down for a 3D show. And it was early 3D, so it's a 60 frames per second film with polarized frames, and so what you're seeing is basically 30 frames per second. So for me, who's really sensitive to flickering, it was a little hard to watch.
Right.
And then the 4D experience is that they've got like sprayers and stuff built in, stuff built into the chair. To right. like move around and do stuff like that. So, blah, blah, blah. Prepare to be assimilated by the Borg. And the Borg Queen comes in. You are being assimilated. And they have these things in the chairs that are supposed to like start moving like around the sides of your back and your thighs to make it feel like you're being assimilated, right?
Right.
But mine was bent and canted to the left a little bit more centrally. A little. And it was not so much like roly as it was pokey. I'm making a motion with my fist, if you can imagine. So
it was trying to assimilate you in another
yeah,
manner.
Yeah, I was.
In a not
I was
so good manner.
I need to show you on the doll. What happened? So yeah, the Borg Queen shows up, says prepare to be assimilated, and then it sprays water in my face.
Oh no, not cool.
I'm just like so flickery headache o vision.
Did they buy you
Borg Queen? Gets friendly then spits on me. This is not my kink.
I really hope they bought dinner for you afterwards.
No!
But I tell you, someone in that seat someday developed a whole new kink that they didn't know about. I just discovered something about myself. This is like, going to be tough to follow up on.
This is the worst Ludovicoke technique ever.
Honey.
And so I'm walking ramrod straight out of there, like, wow, that's not so great. And Jason and Becky are like, that's amazing. They have another show that's all like original series stuff. That's gonna be way better. Let's go do that one. They're like, nah, I think I'm gonna stay here in the bar.
Ice down a little bit. Yeah.
Think about the decisions in my life that brought me to this place. Yeah. Sit in a dark room with a cold drink. And just try to put some time between me and the thing that happened to me. I just told that on the air. That's interesting.
There you go.
All right.
That story's now out there.
Yeah. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. You know, in spite of that, I still like Star Trek. I don't know. Well, no more Star Trek stories, but when we come back after the break, it's wooey stuff anyway, so.
I'm Deputy Pirate Man.
I'm Deputy Pirate Man.
I'm Deputy Pirate Man, and this is a PSA. Do not use squid ink unless you are under the influence of other substances.
When you are under the influence of squid ink alone, you will become a monstrosity, irreversible and unidentifiable.
They will not be able to notice your very existence.
When using other substances, it negates the effects of squid ink. Other substances are
antacids,
bark of a large tree,
human ears,
and feathers of a cocoa tree.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Yeah, I told that story on the air. I don't often tell it because it's it's not so great. So a foundation dedicated... not that one. So really, telling that story kind of threw me. Sorry about this. Slightly more than 1 in 5 atheists believes in at least one so-called New Age principle, according to a Pew Research poll. The poll looked at how many people in different religious demographics accepted ideas such as psychics and astrology. It found that 6 in 10 Americans, whether they were Christian or unaffiliated, held some New Age beliefs. While atheists had the fewest people who accepted these ideas, 22% of the atheists polled accepted at least one New Age idea. Other nuns, such as agnostics and unaffiliated people, accepted them at a much higher rate.
I don't think it's any surprise that, like, those not religious but spiritual people suddenly buy into, like, all of this. Like,
yeah.
Psychics, tarot cards, you name it.
But it looks like they're making, in this study, they're making a delineation between people who identify as atheists and people who are other spiritual but not religious agnostics. So they're classifying them differently. So have you guys ever encountered any atheists who then suddenly like,
oh yes, most definitely have.
Tell me.
Think about it. First of all, Scientologists are technically atheists, and there's nothing woolier than that.
I don't know. I don't know that they're atheists. I don't know that they would really qualify even under... I'm trying to compare what I know about Scientology, which is not insubstantial. I have a collection. I actually have a whole bookshelf of their stuff.
Yeah, I've seen it. The L. Ron Hubbard Library.
Yeah, and actually, it's the Zeno Memorial Library is what I call it. And the two-word definition of atheism, no God. I don't know if they believe in the monotheistic super user God that Christianity, the three religions of the book have. But I can't say that they don't believe in gods in the
mythological sense,
mythological, like, polytheism, like Greek and Roman stuff sense.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That would be an interesting debate between people who are not Scientologists, because no way am I going to get on that train. about whether some of these, like, these fun, these fun religions. I don't know if you can hear the huge quotes that require their own scaffolding around fun. qualify as atheists? Because the other one, I think, who identify technically as atheists are the Raelians.
Yes, right.
Who nobody hears about anymore. When was the last time you heard Raelians in the news?
A couple years ago. I think there's another podcast that they actually joined for the Raelians for a certain amount of time, because that's their thing. I'm trying to think of...
Oh, no, Ross and Carrie?
Yes, Oh, No, Ross and Carrie.
Just sounds like... I mean, I know it's real popular, but man, that just sounds like a train wreck.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, they do fine. I mean, they've gone around, they've done Raelians.
No, they sound like great people. I'm not, like, saying, oh, their show sucks. I'm not bad-mouthing their show.
Oh, okay.
That
takes a lot of dedication.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it, like... Awesome that you can do that. Like, I am glad that you can do that. You guys are, what they're doing is they're joining it, and then they're reporting on their experiences from the perspective of somebody who's not investigating, like, well, I'm an investigative journalist, but somebody who's actually trying to be a part of that movement is what I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, that would, my head would explode. It would, I don't know that I could handle that.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Also, I'd probably stand out like a sore thumb, too.
I think their perspective of Raelians is that they're more of a sex cult kind of thing. they're very, very, like they wear the bracelets that sit there and say that you're, what you're expecting kind of experience.
Yeah.
So, if you're young and overage, you have a bracelet for that. That's that way nobody touches you, even... But then, like, for everybody else, it's like, I'm open to this, and they have a bracelet for that. And it's pretty much a sex cult.
Okay.
I actually don't hate the idea of having clear consensual boundaries in a bracelet, so someone walking up could say, I'm not interested in this, so you know, don't go there. Or someone who's open to this, okay, maybe you can, that doesn't sound like a terrible idea.
No, it really doesn't, does it?
So, as for the atheist...
Oh, I know how to describe it.
Okay.
It's like the fourth season of Battlestar Galactica, which I didn't watch for like 3 years.
Okay.
I knew it was going to be great. But I also know that it was probably going to be bad for my brain.
Mm. All right.
That's how I would describe that show.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So my experience with atheists and woo, I haven't run into this a lot recently. Most of this I knew happened many, many years ago. But I remember I was in a group of people post high school in my early 20s, and they got really into some paganism and some spell casting, and they talked about this guy who has he has such a strong aura, and whenever he walks in a room, cats run away from him. And I'm like, well, how often does he shower?
And he probably smells like a dog.
They had this place. It was this hill that they went to do ceremonies, and it had a lot of mystical power, and it was called, and I'm not making this up, Six Pack. Well, yeah, depending what's in that six pack, anything's going to seem powerful. Come on. How do you not see this? But no, these guys really bought into all this really weird psychic, astrological spell casting. Yeah.
I still claim to be atheist.
They're just like, no, I don't believe in God.
There's
a lot of magical stuff happening, but God's not one of them.
Basically me at 14. Basically. I mean, I liked all the ritual stuff. It was basically like a picnic with a campfire.
I had
some weird chanting. I mean, that was
dinner
pretty...
theater kind of thing.
But yeah,
back to your description of Satanism.
Yeah. Oh, geez, I'll never live that down.
So apparently, the theme of the show is story time. So let me throw another one out there. I actually did SCA a few times.
You did? CIA, I had no idea.
Twice.
Okay.
I did it twice. I did not enjoy the experience, so I stopped going.
Right.
One of the times I went. And this was a really bad experience, unrelated to SCA. It was more some personal drama. But basically, I was left without a tent. The person who I was going to share a tent with, we won't get into that. It was a romantic relationship. It was just something else. But I didn't have a tent. And so, come around 2 o'clock, which one of the things SCA events are great for is for drinking late. There are campfires and there are songs and there are horns of mead and whatever you want, people are having a blast there.
Yeah.
But come around 2 o'clock, if you haven't found someone to crash in a tent with, you're running out of luck. So I ended up stuck with the gatekeepers, which is a small group of people who make it their responsibility to stay awake all night and watch the front gate so no one comes in and steals stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very kind. So I'm sitting at this campfire, and these are the craziest people I have ever met in my life. Oh my God, the woo and the astrology and all the things, and they are persecuted pagans. And my favorite moment was, so we had a campfire. It started raining. What happens when water lands on a campfire? It's going to start popping and sizzling and stuff. Well, it popped, and a spark landed on the hem of this woman's robes. She jumped up and started shouting at the fire, accusing it of being a Christian fire trying to burn her for being a pagan. And that's the moment I'm like, I am never coming back to this. I am done.
All right, so what's the SCA?
SCA is the Society for Creative Anachronism.
Okay.
And it's, think Renaissance fairs. It's people who dress up in medieval clothing.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And spend a weekend just sort of living in a medieval life. And there was some, like, really cool assets.
Medieval.
Yeah, bring the scaffolding out again. We got some scarecrows to put up. But, like, it is a lot of fun. And, you know, I actually do really like medieval history. And actually, there's a lot of, like, really good information you can get by going to one of these things, because these people are so into this stuff. And you can learn a lot from people who actually have spent a lot of time studying this stuff. So there are some upsides. It's just there's also some downsides. There are some crazy people there.
Is anybody ever a serf?
Not that I know of, but it was the only place where I threw out.
What do you fight with? Well, I make beats.
Yeah,
I make beats,
and I get like most of them taken away by that guy.
Yeah, that guy. And occasionally, I get drafted into a war, and I have to basically just have spears thrown at me for a few days.
I bring my pitchfork if I can.
Yeah, I have to marry my cousin, and I make beats.
Yeah, shockingly, everybody is a lord and lady.
Yeah,
amazingly.
I imagine there's a lot of bar wenches or something like that too.
There's a fair amount of that costuming, but they still call themselves lords and ladies and stuff like that.
kind of sounds fun.
Yeah, give it a shot. Like, it's worth your time to try it at least once. I did it twice. I decided it's not my flavor, but you know, that's.
There are a fair number of in the Ask an Atheist in the greater Tacoma atheist social circle. There's more than a few Skadians. I have never had that distinction. I've never held that distinction, but I've been to a few of their events, especially when I found out about. Well, I mean, okay, I you know, with my allergy to hops, I brew a lot of meads and malamels and ciders and stuff like that and sizers. And so who am I going to run into a lot when you're making those things? A lot of SCA people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so I met some really, really cool people, learned a lot of really cool tricks in brewing. And yeah. And
I do know there's another podcaster, actually one from Chicago, who he's really involved. I'm not sure if it's SCA or a different organization, but he's really involved in that community just because he's a fencer. And that's the best place to find fencing opponents. And so he got involved through just fencing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that'll happen too. So I'm a LARPer. So yeah, that's slightly different, horrible nerdery. different level there. And the less I talk about it, probably for me, the better at this point. I still think it's fun, but... Ooh, the drama. And I'm told the SCA is no different.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oddly enough, there was some sort of SCA offshoot when I lived in Arizona that my friends were a member of, whose acronym was ECS.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What does it stand for? Because I know that as Emerald City Supporters.
Yeah. I think it was like Empire of Chivalry and Steel or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
and so when everybody else was talking about ECS up here, I'm like, wow, that stuff's a lot more popular than that. And then somebody had to explain to me what it was. Like, oh, it's funny how soccer fandom in Seattle sort of expressed itself to me very slowly.
First is that, then they have, wow, there's all the Xbox fans, yeah. Like the brand loyalty to Xbox. Yeah,
like, does nobody here play PlayStation? Is nobody here a Mario fan? What is it with this Xbox stuff? What the heck?
Well, I mean, we are the land of Microsoft.
Well, I mean, that's some serious brand loyalty. I mean, I didn't realize Seattle was a company town. And now I know it's a company
yeah,
town.
Yeah, I know it's an absolute
Well, it's a two-company town, but...
There's Boeing, too.
Boeing, okay. Yeah. Amazon, Microsoft.
Starbucks?
Oh, yeah, Starbucks. So four competing multi-billionaire companies that want your soul.
But 10 years ago, I was like... heck is going on? yeah. And so we're back to, it's the end of the show, and we're back to sports.
Yay!
Yeah. What science fiction thing? Oh, right. We have about a minute left.
All right.
You're reading the Expanse books.
Yes, I am. Oh. Book 7. I am just about done with all the available books. I read all the short stories, which I highly suggest. They are worth a couple bucks to download.
Yeah.
They're all very good. Plus, they fill in some of those gaps and everything. Mm. And yeah, it's outstanding. And I'm really excited because as soon as I'm done, I'm going to start watching the show again because I think season 3 has dropped. And Amazon picked up the series, so there's going to be a season 4?
Yeah. Well, the show was produced by a not Syfy.
Right.
Sci-fi, but they changed the letters.
So they could have wrestling?
So they could have wrestling. I was so mad about that.
Yeah. and so I think Sci-fi only had first-run rights in the U.S., and right. It was an Amazon show everywhere else. So it's not a huge change. So I would not be surprised if Expanse went for another 3 or 4 seasons.
Yeah. Yay, please.
I'm on book 3 and I love it.
Okay.
It's like this is the first time I read a book in a long time. I used to be a book nerd and now I just never find time.
I don't want to read the books. Well, okay, that's really not true. I really want to read the books, but I am definitely a person who discovered the TV show first.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV show is so good. In its characters and stuff like that I don't want to have the usual thing in my brain where I try not to be the guy who says, oh my God, the book is so much better.
Oh, you mean like Game of Thrones?
Yeah. But I'm definitely the kind of guy who says, oh, the book is so, much, better.
So much better.
And so I'm trying to avoid that in this situation. And I've seen I'm all caught up on The Expanse and we should actually just talk about The Expanse one day, I think.
Yeah,
that's good. Maybe we'll become a fan show. I don't know. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Our email address is questions@askanatheist.tv. Man, it's been a while since I've done the end of a show. Our email address is questions@atheist.radio.
Yes.
Not the other one. Our website is atheist.radio. Our Twitter is askanatheistwa. Thank you. Thank you, people who do music. Thank you, Dave.
Yep.
Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome.
We're off to Sluggo. See you guys next week.
What? 3 topics?
Yeah. 3. We did 3 whole stories.
I think that's the...